open and we acknowledge the Kaurna people, the traditional custodians of the land. We pay our respects to their elders past and present. I let everyone know that the General Council meeting is being live streamed on the City of Marion website, and following the meeting, the recorded audio will be made available on the website. I ask elected members if they foresee any potential conflict of interest. Councillor Crossland, Cormorant Reserve, you'll need to, yes,
go on. Yeah, Cormorant Reserve, and also just to check with the petition as well, same topic. I'm thinking conflict of interest for both those items.
Yes, and that would be, what would you call that, Ms. McKenzie, material conflict?
I believe it would be a material conflict due to the location, the close proximity, yes.
That's right. All right, if there aren't any others, we'll keep moving along. Would someone like to move that the minutes of the last General Council meeting be taken as read and confirmed? Councillor Pryor, seconded Councillor Telfer. All those in favour, raise your physical hand and I can see them. That's carried unanimously. Thank you.
Sorry, Mayor Hannah, can I just confirm there was two sets of minutes there? There was the General Council meeting and the Special Council meeting. Were we doing those en bloc?
I'm just going through the agenda. So that was confirmation of the General Council meeting.
Yep.
Now I'll ask someone for confirmation of the minutes of the Special General Council meeting. Moved Councillor Hutchinson, seconded Councillor Schilling. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's unanimous, thank you. That's carried. Now communications, in terms of the written communications, would someone like to move that they be received? Moved Councillor Telfer, seconded Councillor Hull. All those in favour? Carried unanimously, thank you. And Ms. McKenzie, can you confirm whether or not elected member verbal communications are due at this meeting?
That's correct, they are.
Right. They're not for the second meeting of the month?
No, because April only had one meeting.
Okay. I thought they were for the second meeting of the month, but I'll take your advice. So would members like to contribute? Councillor Valescu, you'll need to unmute yourself. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Worship. Look, I just got a quick call from a resident today who wanted to thank the council for their role in the Cobham Hall situation. The school's just opened and the residents around there are very happy that we've saved the building, we've saved the trees, and there's a workable solution for that site. So, and there's no longer the issues that they had when that site was vacant, when it was in limbo. So I guess just a thank you to everyone involved. That was a really good outcome for that area.
It is a grand old building indeed. Any other contributions? If not, we can keep going. I'll just check with Ms. McKenzie. Is a motion necessary to note?
No.
Are we using electronic hands for indicating you want to speak, or do we just...
Preferably, Councillor Hull. Certainly, yes, I think that is the best procedure. Thank you.
Well, if I may just make a quick contribution.
Yes, of course.
Look, it evolves around COVID-19, and I've just been so impressed with how the community has been attempting to look after each other. Around the Merino area, that is it 5049?
Yes.
They've got one going. There is one operating in Warradale as well. And I just think that that's just so tremendous that they're making the effort to actually look after their neighbours. And And I'm just glad the council is also making the effort to deliver food and supplies to those who need it as well. So that's it, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Any others? No. Well, then we can just move on to the next item. So the next item adjourned from a previous meeting is the Australia Day Council membership question. Having said that, we have two important deputations this evening, one from Natalie Gibson regarding Cormorant Reserve, and one from Jan Chorley, the Executive Officer, Australia Day Council SA, and in particular her deputy, whose name I'll come back to in a moment. There seems to be a good reason to follow the usual custom, not necessary, but a custom of council to address the actual motions after the deputations. Now, both of the deputants, I'm sure, would like to go first, but I have been informed by Natalie Gibson that she actually has work commitments this evening and needs to get away to them. So what I propose to elected members, and with apologies to our guests from the Australia Day Council, is that we hear from Natalie Gibson, and then address the Cormorant Reserve motion, and with the leave of the meeting, move the Australia Day Council membership question to immediately. Move the deputation from the Australia Day Council, and then the question about membership to immediately after the Cormorant Drive Reserve question. So,
Mayor Hannah, the only issue is I can't see that.
We have to call the motion on, do we?
Well, I can't see that Natalie Gibson, who is the deputation for Cormorant Reserve, is in the attendees but Jan is.
I see. Well, that's information I didn't have. I thought as recently as earlier today, Ms. Gibson was in touch with the elected member assistant today or yesterday. But are you saying that none of the staff have heard anything about her attendance this evening, about cancellation unexpectedly?
No, we hadn't heard anything about cancellation. She had requested a specific time, but obviously we weren't able to give her a specific time apart from saying that the item would be heard early on the agenda. But I cannot see her sitting in the attendee list.
Well, that does place us in a difficult situation. How confident can we be that she's not waiting? As an attendee?
Well, there is no Natalie Gibson in the attendee list. I can see all the names.
Bearing in mind that she may...
Do you know who Casey is, Kate? Because there's a Casey that doesn't have a last name.
Casey is the Messenger journalist.
Oh, okay.
It looks like most of the other people attending are staff.
Yeah, that's correct.
To be fair. Okay. What would be the procedure if Natalie Gibson wanted to present her deputation this evening? Has she got any way of contacting staff? Or indeed, have we not attempted to contact her?
I haven't had any contact with her directly. It was going through the mayor's assistant today, I can follow it through and see if we've heard anything further.
Well, it can always be put off to the next general council meeting. If there have been crossed wires, I just want to make it as easy for Ms. Gibson as possible.
Mm-hmm.
I know that at some point my assistant did communicate that she would highly likely be on between 6:30 and 7, but that we couldn't set it to the minute.
That's correct.
What's happening?
Yep, that's fine. I do have a staff member that is going to try and contact her now.
All right. Well, perhaps we'll just All the more reason to, if I have leave of the meeting, to go to the Australia Day Council deputation and then follow that with the Australia Day Council membership question. So does any of the elected members object to that? Because if not, then we'll, all right, I have leave of the meeting, so we'll invite the Australia Day Council attendees to appear as panellists using the technical jargon, and that will mean they should appear on the screen with us shortly. Now,
So I have.
If you can help me, Ms. McKenzie, with the name of the assistant. Was it Fiona Dorman?
Yeah, that's right. Fiona Dorman, Your Worship, is the
Vice
Chair.
Yep, the
Deputy Chair.
Deputy Chair of the Board as well. So I think Jan Chorley and Fiona Dorman are jointly going to give a deputation, and then members will have the opportunity to ask questions. So can that deputation be arranged? I have is that Fiona present now? Thank you.
Yes, it is, Mayor Hannah. Thank you.
It's always we won't worry about the name that we can see on the screen. That's a red herring, but you're here, that's the main thing.
Is
Jan Chorley with you?
Yes, Jan is here with me.
All right, so we're set to go. So you've probably been informed of the rules. You have 5 minutes for a presentation, and then because there's, you know, some detail to be explored, I'll give the opportunity to elected members to ask any questions.
Thank you so
much. So please go ahead.
Thank you so much. And thank you, Mayor Hannah, and all the elected members for the opportunity to make this deputation tonight. It's really lovely to see you all on the screen as well. So thank you so much. As said before, I'm Fiona Dorman. I'm the Deputy Chair of the Australia Day Council of South Australia. And I'm here with Jan Chorley, who will speak after me. May I start by saying that we deeply value the relationship that we have with the City of Marion and the constituents of your council. Our work has always been about bringing communities together. We have long-standing relationships and memberships with over 60 or 60 plus councils across the state. And in particular, we have greatly appreciated opportunities to support your citizens in various forums held in recent years. One of our missions is ensuring each council is supported in your work to engage your constituents in the Citizen of the Year Awards process, and to further promote the South Australian of the Year Awards administered by the Australia Day Council of South Australia to the outstanding members of your council area. The Australia Day Council of South Australia appreciates the long and valued partnership with the City of Marion. Your support is vital to our shared values and to our shared objectives. As a not-for-profit entity, we are reliant on partnerships, including that of the City of Marion. We did have an operating loss, as you might know, in financial year 19. That was due to strong investment and revitalisation of the Australia Day Council of South Australia. But this also enabled us to invest in our engagement with our First Nations peoples for the first time in curating a major installation entitled Kamunka. We also introduced a smoking ceremony, initiated the Inspiring South Australian Women Impacting the World forums, and we were able to take, for the first time, Australian local hero Eddie Wu to engage with thousands of young South Australians across Adelaide and right into the regions. The following year, we put in place a number of changes, and the upshot is that BRM Advisory has advised us now that our unaudited profit on a year-on-year basis for February 19 to February 20 is over $105,000, which compares favourably with the loss of the previous year and is a reflection of increases in income, tight cost controls, and our commitment to good governance procedures. Some of these changes, though, it would seem, did not sit comfortably with a former employee as they affected his role, who raised some concerns to the CEO and to the board, which was picked up in an article in the paper. The board, though, did undertake an independent external review of operations, and I can confirm that the review found a very strong and positive workplace culture, and all funds and expenditure are fully accounted, and we continue to operate with financial integrity. The takeout is that the Australia Day Council of South Australia is financially equipped to continue its valuable work. As always, though, we continue to be reliant on local, state and federal government financial support and that of our very valued partners and sponsors. Ours is a not-for-profit community enterprise that relies on community goodwill and support. In this COVID-19 environment, the work of this Australia Day Council of South Australia is more important than ever in bringing together communities to ensure that our work is a central part of how we recover as communities post-bushfires and COVID-19. Again, may I say that we are grateful for the strong support of the City of Marion, to you, Mayor Hannah, and to the elected members. And I'll hand over to Jan Chorley.
Thank you very much, Fiona Dorman, and thank you very much, Mayor Hannah.
Welcome.
The opportunity of being with you all this evening. Building on what the Deputy Chair has outlined, the opportunity of the City of Marion to fully utilise membership to the Australia Day Council, and I thought it would be really good just to outline what your membership does include. Your council has access to utilise our statewide mailing list and our social media platforms such as Facebook, Twitter, for your council to promote your events and programs. The Citizen of the Year program, which enables your council to take nominations from your constituents for citizens who've made a difference in your communities. This program can assist your council in fostering active citizenship, and I know it does. The programs include provision of marketing materials and collateral. There is also a central website that can accept online nominations, which we forward directly to your council. The Ambassador Program also, which sends inspiring Australians, South Australians to communities, people like Maggie Beer and Bill Denny and Dr. Rob Morrison and Ivan Copley and many others, are eager to speak at your council in the lead up to Australia Day or citizenship ceremonies or on Australia Day at your breakfast, if you so wished. We provide a toolkit for your operational staff reconducting of Australia Day's activities. As part of your membership, tickets are allocated for your council to attend the award ceremony at Government House, the Australian of the Year Awards presentation evening where the South Australian of the Year is announced at Adelaide Oval each year, and Australia Day in the City for your mayor and as VIP guests. Other tickets to all other Australia Day Council South Australian events at other times of the year are offered at discounted rates. We also offer to your council access to Australia Day merchandise. The City of Marion has submitted nominations for the Citizen of the Year State Award presented by the Governor of South Australia in 2016, in terms of the last few years, 2016, 17 and 2019. As well as all of the above, the Australia Day Council in partnership with the City of Marion initiated a targeted active citizenship workshop program for your residents, especially engaging migrant women with the City of Marion. These workshops were conducted free of charge in November 2019 at the Marion Cultural Centre, the 17th of February this year at the Glandore Community Centre, and we were due to deliver one at Mitchell Park, but this was postponed due to COVID-19. These workshops were immensely powerful and enabled some very isolated migrant women to connect more deeply with their local council and broader community. This aligns with the new initiatives in our strategic plan, ensuring that as a not-for-profit organisation, we partner with local government and other stakeholders to support new citizens and to create a greater sense of belonging, especially to vulnerable groups. As you can see, these have been some of the benefits that the City of Marion derives from its membership fees of about $1,500. We look forward to a continued engagement with the City of Marion, and as Fiona has said, the relationship has been long-standing and very valuable. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much indeed. So I'll take questions. You can raise your hand either electronically or physically as long as I can see it. We'll start off with Councillor Schilling and then Councillor Hull.
Good evening. Thank you for your deputation this evening. My question is regarding the State Citizen of the Year. If the City of Marion did not continue its membership, does that mean we aren't eligible?
Yes. I mean, we run the State Citizen of the Year Award, so it would mean that, yes, you wouldn't be eligible to partake in the Citizen of the Year Award program. That's right.
OK, Great, thank you.
Councillor Hull.
Thank you for coming, ladies, electronically. I have a question. Out of all the councils in South Australia, are there any other councils that have not subscribed?
There are a couple of councils that haven't, without naming them. One's very, very far away and very tiny, but there are only a couple of councils across the state that are currently not members of the Australia Day Council of South Australia.
Right, and just one last question.
Yes.
In terms of your relationship with the Aboriginal community, would you see that as being improved in the last couple of years, particularly with them heading up the Australia Day Parade in the city?
Thank you very much, Bruce. I guess there's, Councillor Hull, there's a couple of things to say. The Australia Day Council, while it had very, very strong intentions to undertake very strong engagement with our First Nations peoples, was really not successful in being able to undertake that some years back, because it's very complex, as the City of Marion would well know. And we needed to invest in that process to get the kind of results. And that meant that we invested in an Indigenous First Nations producer. And over the last 2 years, that has meant that we've had an open circle group of Aboriginal leaders who've actually shaped the content for Australia Day, which has enabled us to host a smoking ceremony and also the leading of the wonderful Australia Day Parade along King William Street, and also to ensure that there's Indigenous content or First Nations content in the concert program itself. So all of those elements have made such an enormous difference, and the fact that we've had hundreds of First Nations people participate on Australia Day in the centre of the city and across the state, in fact, has meant that shift is starting to occur. And I think that's because we've deeply into relationship and a very genuine, authentic relationship, and we're very keen to ensure that our First Nations people are central to the work that we undertake together.
Thank you very much.
Very good. I have some, but Councillor Telfer, you go ahead.
Thank you for your presentation. My question is about, given that variability in your finances, what are your really essential core businesses and what are the things that are extending you?
Thank you very much for that question. I guess, first and foremost, our core work is our ambassador program. It is our Citizen of the Year program, which I've talked about tonight, is to conduct Australia Day in the city, to bring all South Australians into the city in a major event for the state, and also the conducting of the South Australian of the Year program, which I've highlighted that the City of Marion always has an invitation to attend. So that'd be what we consider to be our core events. As you would know, the conducting of major events is very costly, and it's our, you know, and also sponsorship for Australia Day is also, you know, like any major event, is always a challenge. And costs have gone up to conduct a major event. So they're always the challenges that we have and where we've had some variability. The reason we've had variability, as our Deputy Chair outlined, was because of that investment we made in a whole new direction in terms of the strategic engagement with our cultural and diverse communities and with our First Nations peoples, and looking at a whole of year engagement to ensure that the Australian of the Year, the South Australian of the Year, had access to the widest possible numbers of people in our state, because, you know, some South Australian of the Year have said in the past that they didn't have as much opportunity as they'd like to be out there talking and engaging across the state. So we've really made a difference in the last couple of years at shifting that. And as we've said, we've had people like Eddie Wu we've brought to South Australia. We've made sure that he was in all regions across the state, in terms of across Adelaide and within the regions. And that's the first time we've ever been able to do that. So, But essentially, back to answer your question, our core work are those very four core activities. And the other things that I've talked about really are grant dependent. So we are very reliant on local, state and Commonwealth government funds, as well as sponsorship and also our sale of merchandise.
All right, if there aren't any others, I have a couple of questions. Jan, the first one is sort of at a strategic level. And I preface the question by saying all of the activities and engagement you've described are wonderful, really positive, and like a lot of other associations, groups in the community, doing great things. So the question is for a council, we're looking after the Marion ratepayers' money.
Yep.
And there are actually hundreds of groups where we would agree with positive, wonderful activities that are being carried out.
Yep.
There might be environmental groups, might be Reconciliation yep. SA, might yep. be Margaret Resource Centre, Relationships SA, the list goes on and on.
Absolutely.
So why should we pick out one of these non-profit associations and fund them? Mm. I mean, why should we fund any? And if we're going to fund any, why wouldn't we fund hundreds?
I think... Is that okay if I answer?
Yes, please go ahead, yes.
I think that's a very important question and one that I would absolutely understand your council to be addressing. I guess the most important area that separates us out from any other organisation is that we are the custodians of the South Australian of the Year program, the Australian of the Year program, the Citizen of the Year program. So they're all statewide programs and that enable your council and your constituents to be very engaged in each of those award programs. And that's really important. And that's a beautiful alignment with your own council values and your own strategic directions in that you are illuminating your local contributors, your local achievers, the people that are the glue to every community. And as you have. So that's one thing, I think. The fact that you mentioned reconciliation, Mayor Hannah, you know, that's a central plank of what we do. And I think if we think about the collective impact of councils across the state, really investing in an organisation that is deeply promoting this marker event of our nation, namely Australia Day, is collectively investing in ensuring that our First Nations people have a role and a place, a central place on that day across the state. And also the fact that we can offer, you know, some of those inspiring leaders back into your community for things like Ambassador Days or your citizenship ceremonies and other events. And that also that your council members can partake in the many activities that we offer across the year. So I think for all of those reasons, but at the end of the day, this is our national day and it's an important day and people mark it in so many different ways and we know that. But it's the collective acknowledgement of this day as being important to our country, to our state, to our local communities, to our people. And it celebrates the enormous diversity of all of us. So that'd be some of the things. Thank you.
I'll just move on to the topic of finances. I'll just note it was a bit disappointing that we couldn't receive some more current figures, or at least in some more detail, even if you've changed your end-of-year reporting. There would have been year-to-date figures, for example, that might have compared with the February 2019 end-of-year figures. Anyway,
yeah.
Be that as it may, in 2018, look, moving from 2018 to 2019 figures, that's February to February, I noticed that the employee expenses just about doubled. And I wondered, first of all, how that was possible. And perhaps you could fill in the gaps of the federal, state and local government funding, because I suspect most comes from federal and state government. And whether that's sustainable at that level of, something over 500,000 a year.
Can I just, thank you very much, Mayor Hannah. Can I just firstly say that, so in reference to our finances, so we've changed our financial year to align with much of the country in terms of we formerly have had a financial year from the 1st of March to the 28th of February. And we've now joined the rest of the community in terms of finishing at the 30th of June. So what that means is that we've now got a 16-month financial year, and which will, of course, conclude at the end of June. The financials that our Deputy Chair was referring to from February, so March to February, we have returned for a year-on-year a $105,000 surplus. So the reason we weren't able to just send that out, they haven't been audited yet, but they will be audited at the end of June, along with the remaining 4 months. So that was the only concern, that they, to release them, they're unaudited. So otherwise we would have happily have released them. In relation to previous expenditure on funding, in terms of previous expenditure on staffing, the staffing relates to, yes, they were grants. They were grants from the Commonwealth Department of Home Affairs. There was grants from the State Department of Premier and Cabinet and other funds for small grants. So it enabled us to have people come, you know, some were contractors, but in the main, to come in and do dedicated pieces of work. In terms of our team now and over the last 12 months, we are a very small team. We are really down to a CEO, a general manager of events and programs, an event assistant, and we have some financial assistance from an external finance people. And also we've had a dedicated Indigenous producer, very, very part-time. So that really is, in the main, the makeup of our core team. We do, like most events, we do expand later in the year, about November, December, where we bring on some very casual staff to assist us with the events programs and also the merchandise. So we are a very small team, and I just want to really reinforce that.
Thank you. And before I go, any other questions from any other members? No. So thank you, Jan, and thank you, Fiona. I have got a question from Councillor Valescu. Go ahead, Councillor.
I believe Councillor Clancy has got some questions. So is that something that could be covered? I think she's got some audio issues.
Well, let's just check. Are you able to unmute Councillor Clancy? We certainly can't hear you at the moment. But now,
can you hear me now?
Yep. Oh,
bit of feedback there.
Maybe it was moving away. I'm just trying to clarify.
This is too much. Turn your speaker off.
If Kendra's using the phone, it's problematic.
Try again, Kendra.
I'm just wondering if there's a member. Could someone just read my chat question?
Yeah. So Kendra was wanting clarification, which I thought was provided to Councillor Schilling's question. If this council is not a member of the Australia Day Council, then I understood the answer to be that we will not be eligible to nominate a City of Marion resident for any Australia Day awards. Is that right, Jan?
Yes. I mean, we conduct the Citizen of the Year award program, and if your council chose not to be a member of the Australia Day Council, it would mean that you weren't eligible to partake in the Citizen of the Year award program. That's correct.
All right. Councillor Clancy, did you have any other questions? Councillor Clancy, I can't hear you, but I'm just checking whether you had any other questions.
I think there's another one typed there, Mayor Hannah.
Oh, if you could read it out, Councillor, thank you.
Sure, it says, has Australia Day Council ever rejected a nomination because the nominee is not a resident of a member council?
Jan, can you answer that one?
I can't answer that in terms of historically, but I mean, all nominations come through, well, they come to us or to the respective councils, mostly to us, and that they would always find a home to a council. So all nominations are linked to a council is my understanding of the process and how it works.
All right, Councillor Valescu.
If a council wasn't a member, could they nominate through the neighbouring council to for a potential award, especially if they were doing work across different council boundaries and helping the broader community?
Yeah, I am aware that that has happened in the past with councils, for example, who have nominated a constituent that lives, that works perhaps in the nearby council but resides, or vice versa. But look, you know, the selection panel tries to be incredibly flexible. But in the main, you know, people are very proud of the of where they live and where they reside, and they're very proud to be citizens or nominated as a citizen of that particular council. So, I mean, you know, that's where they belong, and that's where their ownership occurs. So, but yes, people that have worked or have volunteered across many councils, yes, they have been nominated for other councils as a result of that. But it's pretty unusual. But yes, that has happened.
Jan, if I could, Ms. Chorley, if I could just follow that up. It seems to me from the questions that people are perhaps distinguishing between the council as an organisation, and if we choose, if we choose not to partake of the services and the offering of the Australia Day Council, in a sense, that's our business, and that's the case at the moment. But it's seen as a separate thing and unfair if a resident of the City of Marion is somehow disqualified because the City of Marion doesn't pay its $1,500. I think that's perhaps underlying the questions, and I just wanted to give you a final opportunity to see if there's anything you wish to add.
I guess if that was the response from the council, in terms of that would need to really go to our board to sort of discuss that. I'm not familiar with, you know, we'd need to flesh that out as a board, I think, and address that. But you're absolutely right. The last thing the Australia Day Council would want to do would be to not enable a constituent from anywhere to be nominated under any category. So that would really need to be worked through a bit more at our level as well.
All right, thank you. And I did slip a very quick question in there about the division of the receipts. In the public books, there's obviously a healthy figure for grants, etc. But can you give us very roughly a federal, state, local breakdown?
Sure. Well, I don't have the finances in front of me, but, you know, we receive monies from the National Australia Day Council of Australia. That's their Commonwealth funds. That's a chunk of money that we receive every annually. And we receive funds from the City of Adelaide to as a partner to deliver the Australia Day in the city event. And we receive state government funding, which assists us for accommodation, and a very small amount that goes towards staffing. So that's really, so that would probably be a fair chunk of our income. The rest comes, as I've indicated, through membership and through sale of merchandise, and also through, that's in the main where we derive income. Yeah.
Oh, thanks for clarifying that. All right, I don't see any other hands up. So I thank you, Ms. Chorley and Ms. Dorman, for your presentation. And now I think what will happen, staff can advise, but I think they will resort you from panellist panellists to attendees again as we continue with our formal meeting. Ms. McKenzie, can you just clarify that process?
Yep, that is correct. So if nothing else, no one has anything else, I'll put her back as an attendee.
Yeah, I think we can do that. So it's not meant to be a relegation, but it's just that it's obviously the formality of our meeting. We need to have just our elected members and staff as panellists, but attendees are still welcome to observe the live stream. So members, it's the motion, as we agreed, it's on page 37 of the agenda. Would someone like to move a motion of some kind? Councillor Blescu.
Thanks. Thank you, Your Worship. Look, I move that we keep the membership. I guess, you know, I would like a little bit, probably more on the accountability side or to be able to see some of that information. However, for $1,570-odd, I wouldn't want to deprive any of the local residents of that opportunity. I guess also, you know, I think Australia Day is important to a lot of people within the community. You know, maybe things can be a bit cheaper in the future, but I'll move forward on that option, please.
And so I'll just help clarify for everyone, including the minute taker, the wording of your motion. Is it you move that council maintain membership of the Australia Day Council SA?
Yes.
All right. Now I'm looking for a seconder, Councillor Gard. You'll need to unmute yourself. Go ahead. Hang on.
You have me?
Yes, you were with us. Thank you.
Yes. Yes, I'm only too pleased to second this motion. I believe that our membership of this entity is incomparable to any other. The Australia Day Committee is really the machinery enabling us to express our patriotism. That's how I see it. I think there's very few ways that we can officially do that. Membership is more the issue to me. We're talking about 2 cents per resident as far as the cost is concerned, so that's out of the question as far as debate is concerned. But I think just that single fact that now more than ever, I believe, since the Second World War at least, perhaps the Vietnam War as well, but I think the notion of patriotism is going to move to the fore, and it could be very suddenly. And I think more than ever, we need to bind our Australians together in every possible way. So this one is an admirable means of expression to me. And the fact that it can be personified in the form of awards, all the more important. So I highly commend the motion.
Thank you. For those who are observing by live stream, I can let you know that we proceed with our rules of debate by asking for speakers for and against. So having heard a mover and a seconder for the motion, I'll ask if there's anyone speaking against. Not seeing any hands. So in that case, I'll just put it to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand. All those against, please raise your hand. So that's carried by majority. Thank you. So Ms. Chorley and Ms. Dorman, thanks again for coming along. And obviously your advocacy was effective. So, and pass on my regards to Mr. Schuller, please. Now, I ask Ms. McKenzie, I think we have Natalie Gibson present for her deputation.
Yes, I've just promoted her just then, and I'll just also promote the staff that are part of the Cormorant Reserve item as well.
Sure. So, Ms. Gibson, welcome. You have joined us, and that means shortly you'll be able to give us your 5-minute deputation. I know that you sent some slides through and were circulated, I believe. I'm not sure if you've arranged anything with staff about showing the slides as part of your presentation, but certainly some members would have had a chance to look at them. So I can see you now and I can hear you, that's good. So you have the opportunity now for a 5-minute deputation. Please go ahead. I beg your pardon. I just started you and now I have to pull myself back because Councillor Crossland, there is no problem, as far as I can see, with you being present during a deputation. But if we get into any business arising from the deputation, then you may wish to leave as a result of a potential conflict of interest. But Ms. McKenzie, what's your advice on Councillor Crossland staying for the deputation?
Yes, there's no decision making on the deputation, so I think that's fine. When we move into the decision making processes, I'll remove Councillor Crossland from the meeting.
Very good. So I'm sorry, Ms. Gibson, but we just have to be careful of our protocol and so on. So now the floor is over to you, so to speak, and you have 5 minutes. So please go ahead. You might need to just unmute yourself. Can you hear me? Oh, I see. The slides are going up, but you'll need to unmute yourself if you want to speak at the same time.
She looks frozen on my end, Mayor Hannah.
I'm a bit worried about the connection. Do we have a phone number, Ms. McKenzie? Somebody could call her. I take it that you're operating the slides, not Ms. Gibson. Now, Ms. McKenzie, could you unmute yourself, please?
Sorry, apologies. Ms. Moritz is doing the slides, but Ms. Bartlett, who is an attendee at the moment, has her contact number. I'm wondering if you might be able to give her a call.
Yeah, definitely lost connection. That's so unfortunate. But it's probably worth just seeing what we can do. Is it worth quickly running through the slides while the phone call is being made? There are only a few of them, I think. Playground, there's a playground, yes. This is an extract from the consultation leaflet. Playground's equipment is 19 years old, has reached the end of its natural life. I think that's a part of a topic of Ms. Gibson's presentation. What's the next slide? So, these are just the points that Ms. Gibson's going to address. All right, I think that was the last one. Yes, what have you got, Ms. McKenzie?
So I've been advised she's trying to get back on. She said it dropped out when the screen was shared. That might have just been coincidence or it might have been a technical thing, I'm not sure. So maybe if we take the sharing of the screen off.
I think people have got the idea and we can always show them again at the end of the presentation if need be. So she's, Ms. Gibson's trying to join again, is she?
I believe so, yes.
Oh. Do any members have a question of staff while we're waiting? I know I do. Councillor Gard, unmute yourself and go ahead.
Yes, just in terms of the age of the existing playground equipment, and at the moment I think we're saying 19 years and it's nearing the end of its life. I understand from other conversations that there may be some 4 or 5 years left in the old girl yet, or old person yet, might I say. The other point is, do we have an extension of the more natural playground facility options that I think are admirable, but is it possible that we could score in more of them?
Who would like to answer that of the staff? You'll need to, Ms. Pitcher.
Thank you. Through the chair, as far as it's nearing the end of life, that is correct. The playground is nearing the end of its life. The playground was first installed 2001, 2002, so it is reaching 18, 19 years of life. We say that's nearing the end of the life beyond up to 20 years. Some asset life can last to 20, 25 years.
Well, I'd like to speak to that as well. I did send an email asking how it can be said it's at the end of its useful life. I know when I was exploring playground age a few years ago and I was provided with a table of playground removals, I was quite surprised that they varied from, just as an example, I can't really recall, but something like 17 to 27 years. It was quite a wide range. And I noticed that a number of councils interstate and in similar countries had ages of 20 to 25, and quite often 25 years is their upper limit. So given that this is 19 years old, seems to be in good condition. Can you just explain in a bit more detail about why it is, as you say, at the end of its useful life?
Certainly. Through the mayor, it is, I think the wording was when it's nearing its end of its life, because it is approaching that 20-year mark. We do find certain equipment may last longer, but some certain equipment may come to the end of its life sooner. We undertake audits to understand the assets and what criteria they need and what maintenance they need up until that date of replacement or removal.
All right. Now, I'll go back to addressing Ms. Gibson.
There's a second question.
Councillor Gard, it's a direct follow-up, is it? We've got Ms. Gibson now to give her presentation.
No, my original question, though.
Let me just explain. Councillor Gard, Ms. Gibson, while your transmission was interrupted, we took the opportunity to commence some questions of staff just to make use of the time. So I'll just let Councillor Gard repeat his original question. He feels that he doesn't have an answer, and then we'll come to your presentation. So Councillor Gard, go ahead.
Yes, the second part of my question was merely, do we have an opportunity to increase the form of replacement equipment, be it more in a natural form as described, than the configuration we've currently got on the table? And that's irrespective of how long the existing equipment is decided upon, what the life of the existing equipment is decided or determined to be. I hope that's understood. It's just a matter of how we might cut over, were we to cut over, and would we have something a little more generous than the current replacement offering?
So, Ms. Pitcher, would you like to respond? You need to unmute if you're going to respond. Thank you.
Through the chair, it is possible, and the recommendations for the report this evening and what was proposed to the community at the time was to upgrade some landscaping on site with some additional seating and minor nature play equipment, including rocks and logs. That is possible for the site. obviously the other option is to see it as a local level reserve, which then associated local level costings would be associated with that decision.
Thanks, Ms. Well,
I think we can come back to such issues in the debate. Now, Ms. Gibson, we also discussed with staff while your transmission was broken that the putting up of the presentation might have had some effect. I don't know why that would be, but I'd invite you to give your... We have had a look at it in your absence. So if you could give the presentation best you can, refer to the slides if you like. If we need to, we'll view them again, but we might leave that until after the presentation to be safe. So please go ahead, and sorry about the tech problems.
That's okay. Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak. I take it you can all hear me.
Going well, thank
wonderful.
You.
Okay, so the technology is working. Firstly, I will apologise that this is a little bit rushed. I hadn't intended to speak this evening. My understanding was the meeting was tomorrow, so I'm not quite as prepared as I would have liked to have been. So forgive me as I rattle through. Just a brief introduction to me. I'm Natalie Gibson, as you know, and I live in Sandpiper Terrace. My house is adjacent to Cormorant Drive Reserve. I work full-time as a Director of Services, Corporate Services at SA Ambulance Service, and I'm at work now. So my children, I have two children, one aged 10, one aged 6. Both recently started to attend Woodcroft College after spending junior years for the elder child at Hallett Coast School. I just want to add, I wasn't intending to talk you through a long PowerPoint deck, but my 10-year-old daughter, who is autistic, provided the PowerPoint to me. She takes a lot of solace in developing PowerPoints, and she takes a lot of solace in the playground at the reserve also. So what the first slide I popped up that obviously hopefully you've looked at is really a picture of the playground. Many of you will not have seen it. So I think what it illustrates is, although it's 20 years old, it's in incredibly good condition, and the worst you could argue for its condition would be one small component that is sun-stained. That is generally it. It is in immaculate condition. I certainly see an awful lot of playgrounds around the place that do not marry up with the standard that you see here. The second set of slides with numerous photographs on really show the variety of equipment at the playground. And I think that's a really important point. It only has four different components of the playground, but it has a range of activities within those components that really do challenge children. They challenge them to think, to play there for hours. It generally holds attention a lot longer than certainly some of the newer playgrounds with logs, rocks, water play, for example, aimed at a much younger community group. I did just want to flag the consultation, and you may have talked about this in my absence, but now I'm very clear that the consultation that was provided recently, it is quite disingenuous. I had on the slide there for you to see, but I'll read for you now. The consultation reads, the playground equipment at Cormorant Drive Reserve is 19 years old and has reached the end of its life and is scheduled for removal. I'm making emphasis on those two words there because that is how the community looked at that consultation. Many of the members of the community I spoke with did not know that the playground was scheduled for removal, neither did they think there was an opportunity to feedback having read that consultation with that wording. So consultation is entirely about what will replace that playground, and it is not about the playground itself. Certainly the consultation that's taken place previously has been about the principles of the playground framework and not about the playground removal. And I think it's really disingenuous and unfair to the community to have played in that game. I'll move on though, just in terms of the council rationale. I had a slide there to recap what is contained in the council's own playground framework. And again, you may have recapped on that while my transmission was out. In a nutshell, you would like, as members of the council, to have playgrounds that are stimulating within walking distance, that's 500 metres according to your guidelines, of each home, each resident in the Marion Council area. Something that's challenging and fun, somewhere that children are able to take graduated and calculated risks, that really has some community-led views and drive to be there, and it has a fair hierarchy according to the other playgrounds in the area, and your hierarchy is listed as local, neighbourhood and regional. I'm sure you know all about this far more than I. While the flat framework itself lists a number of playgrounds for removal, the final decision is said to be based on the playground being at the end of its life, community consultation, and independent risk assessment. I hear you just have the debate about the end of life, and that's certainly one of my points. I'm not clear that a playground reaching 19 years automatically makes it the end of its life. It is still useful. The next slide, why should we keep the playground? I'll tell you, I didn't change any wording on there from my daughter's presentation. I quite like that one. It's not reached the end of its life. People do use it. I'm in a really privileged position in terms of where we live that we can overlook the majority of the playgrounds, and I see people use it all the time. I have to say, in the early days of the COVID-19 pandemic, before the playgrounds were closed and while people were still really socially isolating, I have never seen the playground so busy. There were very, very many people there, and that really shows the amount of interest in the community. And just while I mention COVID, I do just want to point out that whilst I commenced talking to the community members about the playground, I did cease that and halted the petition at the point that it was certainly becoming a challenging and evolving situation. I didn't feel it was wise to be moving to people's houses and putting a pen in their hand, and I felt they would be uncomfortable. So ultimately, we had 50 signatures on that petition, and I've got a slide that really shows exactly who signed that. And let me be clear, that's almost every single house in the local area.
All right, we've reached the 5 minute mark, Ms. Gibson. So just let you make any very final observation summary.
Just final observations. Thank you for that opportunity. It was really to identify with you that the nearest playground is absolutely not 500 metres away. It is 3K away up very steep hills. And I do not believe that you're offering anyone with any disability, let alone other children, the opportunity to attend a playground. The playground you identify as 500 metres is actually nearly 4K away up a steep hill, round a corner, across a train line, and is not nearby to this playground. Removing it will remove the access to a playground to many local children. And I was very surprised, even myself, in knowing people who attend there, how many local kids live nearby. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
I think the mayor's dropped off. So, Councillor Schilling.
With the mayor having dropped out of the meeting, I'll take chair of the meeting as deputy for a short time until he returns. Thank you for your deputation, Ms. Gibson. I have a few questions myself, but I'll open it up to councillors first. Are there any councillors that have questions for Ms. Gibson? Councillor
Masika. Thanks, Deputy Mayor. Mine is not a question, it's just a point, a comment, which I want to say to Natalie. Thanks so much for making yourself available to come and talk to us. And we've learned a lot. Myself, I've learned a lot in how I'm going to make a decision on this one. And your presentation is consistent with what I've been believing in. And I have to say thank you so much for being available.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Masika. Councillor Clancy, I see you have your hand up. Go ahead, please.
Can I just have some clarification? I don't know who the best person is about the distance. I understand that various councillors have walked to the closest park, which is a 7 or 8 minute walk, which would be maybe a K. Can we have some clarification on that?
I can answer that if you'd like. So certainly the nearest alternative playground is around 1 and a bit K, yes, certainly going by internet systems of measuring that distance. That takes about 10 to 15 minutes to walk when accounting for the landscape that is in Hallett Cove from the existing playground, around 15 minutes. The alternative play, and as I've said, it is a very... it is a playground targeted at very young children. The alternative that marries up with the type of equipment you'll find at Cormorant Reserve is around 3.5K up very steep inclines, gullies, train lines.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor Schilling, for taking over while I was absent. I can probably take up the reins from here. Any other questions? Councillor Schilling.
Thank you, Mayor Hannah. Ms. Gibson, thank you for presenting this evening. Just with regards to the nearest closest reserve, are you aware that Grand Central Avenue Reserve is 850 metres away in a 7-minute walk?
Grand Central Reserve?
Basically Heron Way.
Heron Way? No. As we've just identified, it is not. It measures just over 1K. It's about 1.2K. And if you walk from the existing playground to Heron Way, it's about 15-minute walk. And it is up. I mean, it's not as steep as the access to the other playgrounds. But certainly, I think it would be unfair to say you could walk that in 7 minutes.
All right. I won't start an argument, but thank you for your answer.
Right. Any other questions? All right then. Well, thank you. Oh, sorry, Councillor Hull. Yes.
Mrs. Gibson, thanks for coming. I live down on the plains near the Marion Shopping Centre, and we don't have hills to negotiate, so it's pretty much billy goat country down that way, isn't it? Like getting around to get to the playground or get to the shops. Is that really what we're discussing here tonight? The difference, you know, I'm not going to quibble about 200 metres or something in calculations if we're talking about steep hills, trying to get kids to negotiate that.
Ms. Gibson, anything to add?
I'm not sure I really take and understand the question, but I'll try. I'm not here. I am not here to debate kilometerage. I think it's very clear your own playground framework identifies that playgrounds should be sited within 500 metres of each resident. That's clear. And the removal of the playground at Cormorant Reserve would breach that policy. I think you certainly do. Regardless of incline, you do have to take account, and your framework makes that very clear, take account of gullies, train lines and such, and the kilometerage that is provided for the Heron Reserve doesn't account for that.
An additional question.
Yes, go ahead.
Recently, in my ward, council decided to remove the playground at Benpethic Reserve. That was well received by the local community. There'd been a build-up attachment to that. Is that the case down there as well, where the local community has, you know, valued this playground? Obviously, you've demonstrated that with a very good petition. Is there a local attachment with the community down there with the playground? It's over the hill and far away from me. I hope you can appreciate that.
Absolutely. Listen, I can speak for myself and the people that I spoke to. In putting together that petition, absolutely. People were to be honest, I surprised myself in terms of the level of interest and the outrage at removing the playground. There were people there with grandchildren. There was one lady I spoke to who was terribly upset. She had a grandchild who'd just been born, and she was desperately waiting for the child to be old enough to take it down there. She walked past every day and couldn't wait to go in. So yeah, I think there absolutely is. Listen, I think there is certainly scope to encourage more and more of the community to go there. There's no signage at all about that playground. Accessibility from forgetting the name of the street now, but the street adjacent could be improved. There's certainly improvements that could be made, and I'm not here to debate that. But I certainly think it's a playground that has a real community feel, and people would like to save it. And certainly my children themselves would be distraught at it being removed.
The point's been made. If there are any other questions, then what will happen now, Ms. Gibson, is that staff will relegate you from being an attendee to being, I've got it the wrong way around, a panelist to an attendee. So you'll still be able to observe the live stream, and we need to get on with the formal part of the meeting. And councillors have agreed to go immediately to the Cormorant Reserve Playground motion. So we'll debate that now.
Thank you so much.
All right, I'll just wait for you to leave the meeting. And at this point, Councillor Crossland, I'm calling on the motion. Well, first of all, the petition is something that we receive. So, page 46.
Sorry to interrupt, Mayor Hannah. Just Ms. before McKenzie. We go, it can, for the purposes of the meeting, can Councillor Crosland just declare the conflict so it's recorded?
Thank you. Can you hear me? Okay. Yeah. As mentioned at the beginning of the meeting, I believe I've got a material conflict with this playground. It is the closest playground to where I live, and because it is, I live very close to that reserve. I'll not be participating in neither the petition motion or the actual removal of the playground debate either.
All right. So since we are, I'm calling on the petition motion regarding Cormorant Dry Reserve. So Councillor Crossland's left the meeting. Now, one thing I find very strange here is the recommendation because it reads as a fact rather than a recommendation in relation to the petition. Normally we note the petition and advise the petitioners or the petition, the head petitioner at least. So it states that a decision regarding removal is endorsed as part of the report presented at this meeting as a separate agenda item. I'm not sure that, I've got a few questions about that wording anyway, but it's really a statement rather than a recommendation. So I'll just highlight that for members in casting the motion. Because I've made that comment, would staff like to respond as to why it's worded that way rather than just noting the report?
Yes, I'll comment through the chair if that's okay.
Sure.
I would suggest that we probably do change it to that council notes the petition and then advises the head petitioner of the outcome from the, or we can include that within the next item that we advise the petitioners the of the outcome
of council's decision regarding the playground or something like that.
Yes. Yep.
So I think as a chair, wanting to have transparent and clear decision making, I think that's probably better wording. Councillor Schilling.
Thank you, Your Worship. I was just going to suggest that we just move a motion that notes the petition and sends a response to the petitioner once we've made the decision on the next item. And I'd be happy to move that.
That is exactly what Ms. McKenzie was suggesting, just slightly different wording, but the intention's the same. So you're willing to move that.
Yeah.
Ms. McKenzie, do you want to clarify appropriate wording if you've got that now, or do we come back to you?
I'll just ask the minute taker, Ms. Moritz, whether she's been able to capture that.
Through the chair, as it stands, that council, one, notes the petition, and two, advises the head petitioner of the outcome of council's decision regarding the removal of the playground.
Perfect, I would say. So Councillor Schilling's moved that. Councillor Schilling, did you want to speak any further?
No, it's just petition. I'll leave my debate to the actual motion later on.
Yes. Councillor Gard, you're seconding? All right. Anything to add? No. Anyone speaking against? Councillor, anyone speaking against receiving the petition? No. Then I'll put it to the vote. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against? I think that's unanimous. No one against. Right. Let that be so recorded. And we'll go to the motion concerning the playground. As we agreed earlier, it's on page... I don't think I have actually sought leave of the meeting to do that. Rather than get into any debate about the committee reports, I seek leave of the meeting that we deal with the Cormorant Dry Reserve Playground removal question now. So the thing is, if nobody objects, if anybody objects, then we can take a vote on it. But no one objects, therefore we have leave of the meeting and we can deal with that issue now. Okay, so for those who are watching, sorry about the formality of all this, but we have to follow procedure. Page 68 on our agenda is the playground removal. I just wanted to throw something in there because I understand there's a mix of views among councillors. There is the printed recommendation, which is removal. There could be something which is contrary to that, or there could be a deferral, you know, whether it be to 2023 or to get more information as you wish. So I just wanted to let you know that there are a variety of ways of tackling this if people aren't in agreement with the motion as such.
A question, Mr. Mayor?
A point of order, procedural question, Councillor Hull?
Yeah. Yep. If we decide to defer, and in other words, push this back because the life expectancy of the equipment is not realised yet, in the report it suggests that there is actually a financial cost to some perceived increased maintenance, and I get that. So whatever motion, if we actually move a motion on that lines, it should really incorporate a financial contribution to maintain that extension of time.
Fair enough. Thank you for your suggestion. Now, Councillor Velescu, I'm after someone to move a motion. I'll go with Councillor Gard.
I had a question.
Is it a procedural, Councillor Velescu, is it a procedural question?
It was just in regards to the effective life, whether we want to consider keeping the playgrounds open where there's community interest for as long as we can until they're unsafe?
Yeah, I think there's an issue there about policy, which could be revisited as part of maybe next time we're considering the open space plan. But I think we can be more specific if we're dealing with this playground right now. We just have to decide about this playground tonight, nothing else. You've raised a policy point, which I think can be addressed later. And indeed, the open space plan is coming back to council soon for consideration. All right. Perhaps I'll go to Councillor Gard, but before I do that, I think we've had a fair go of questions, but does anyone have any final factual questions of staff before we get into the debate? No. Well, Councillor Gard, how would you like to kick this off? You just need to unmute and then go ahead. Oh, you've gone the opposite way. Hang on, there you go.
Yeah, how's that?
Yes, thank you.
I'd simply like to move that the playground equipment be, as it currently is, current playground equipment be left in place and maintained at the, whatever the cost is, for a further 3 years before it is reconsidered for its safety.
Right. Now, that being your intention, I think that's fairly clear, but I would just invite staff for comment, not to argue with the intent, but if that is the intent, if that's the motion we're going to test, whether they have any suggested improvement to the wording of the motion. After staff advice, if there is any, Ms. Pitcher.
Through the chair, our playgrounds within the City of Marion are maintained by our Open Space Operations Department. There is weekly visual checks on every single playground across the council area. There is also what we call a level 2 operational inspection, which occurs quarterly. These inspections occur internally, We also undertake the level three external auditor inspections. They're undertaken every 3 years. The next time that Cormorant would be up for renewal through that investigation would be 2021 for an external level three audit. We can continue to audit the playground, I guess, for consideration that as it does near closer to the end of its life, maintenance costs and risks do increase as we get to that point.
So in terms of how that leads to commentary on Councillor Gard's motion, there's an implication there to me that we don't actually need to put a dollar figure in there because staff just do what they do, and when it comes to an audit in next year or something, it'll go into the budget anyway. That's what I'm... Is that a fair interpretation?
Yes. Okay. Through the mayor, I think that's fine.
Yeah, thank you. So... let's see, what has the minute taker made of Councillor Gard's motion? Do you have that, Ms. Moritz?
Through the chair, point one remains, and point two becomes the current playground equipment remains in place and is maintained for a period of 3 years before it is reviewed for renewal.
And could we just add to that, subject to safety considerations?
Sure.
Councillor Gard, if you're happy with that?
Yes.
It's a bit vague, but obviously if something happened, it might have to come back more quickly for consideration. Yeah. Okay. Well, then, that's in order. So, Councillor Gard, would you like to speak to that motion?
Yes, I'll try and be brief. I think I take into account all things that have been said in regard to the equities and the measurement, etc., and also to the local needs. I think a couple of more important points are that it has been said that some 60 households would be more greatly valuing that playground than the rest, and that is due to proximity, immediate proximity. I think also... there is the likelihood that we will improve the Heron Way facilities. There's also the matter that the demographics, and I do trust our staff on measurement here, that the demographics are moving such that there will be less children of a playground age as each year goes by. That trend has started to develop. There are also issues about the particular area, and there's also the option that when that playground does come to the end of its life, and that is something that we need to look at scientifically, obviously not just visually, because the layperson isn't really able to determine safety, and that there's all sorts of risk management issues if they attempt to, then there is the option for some really neat, inverted commas, replacement of a more natural form of playground. And that's something we'd buy ourselves time to contemplate. So I think all round, this would be a good solution while we reassess the general area.
Thank you. Right on 2 minutes. Your sense of time is impeccable, Councillor Gard. Seconded Councillor Mason. Just unmute yourself and go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to second that the playground stays as it is for now. I went there on the weekend with my son. We didn't play on the playground, obviously. But I did see the area with a pram. I must admit, it was very hard to get up the hill with the pram. So maybe we need to look at ways you can access the playground a little bit better. But it was a lovely area, very relaxing, with the fence around it. was great. Not all families really like to go to big playgrounds, especially if you've got young kids. It's really hard to keep an eye on three different children running around different areas. So I think the appeal for that particular playground is because it is small, it's contained, it's in a beautiful area that's relaxing. So it's good for everyone's wellbeing. I definitely second that.
Is anyone speaking against the motion? Councillor Hull, you're speaking against. Go ahead. Just unmute first. Thank you.
I'm moving an amendment, Mr. Mayor.
Amendment is fine. Yes, that's in order. Yep.
I've just dispatched that by chat. All parties should see that. That the playground be upgraded to a local level playground with the following costs allocated and planned through the open space plan. $95,250 capital cost, and as you see it there. Mr. Mayor, this is what ratepayers pay their money for, and this is why, you know, I've still got a bitter community losing a playground. It's made me more aware of how playgrounds are valued, and this is what we're measured by. This is what ratepayers measure us by, how good the playgrounds are, how good their sporting complexes are, how good their streets are maintained. The staff have actually recommended that in their report. I didn't make this up. It says there, should the playground be maintained, we recommend this particular amendment. So it's consistent with staff advice, and I just think harking back to ex-Councillor Pfeiffer, let's do it properly the first time. Mind you, it's not the first time. It's an existing playground that's valued, clearly, and we could even make it better.
Councillor Hull, just one thing I need to clarify in your remarks there. How can you say it's consistent with staff advice? I don't want you to be misunderstood.
It's in the report, Mr. Mayor. Renewal option costs, consultation, while a small sample size indicate the removal of the playground is not supported, should the playground not be removed, it will be required upgrading to in the near future. Ongoing maintenance and auditing of the current level will also need to be maintained. So what the staff are telling us is this playground is, in their opinion, at the end of its life, and they recommend that it be replaced to this level. I get that. So it's not something that I'm sort of confabulating here. This is in the report.
Yep, no, thanks for the clarification. Is the amendment seconded, Councillor Masika? Just unmute yourself.
No, I wasn't seconding up the motion. I wanted to go against the motion which has been proposed.
You're not seconding the amendment?
No, I'm not seconding the amendment.
Okay. Is anyone seconding the amendment? Last chance, or it lapses, we don't need to deal with it. All right. There's no seconder for the amendment, so the debate continues. I'll take a speaker either for or against the motion. Now, Councillor Masika, did you want to speak? Then I'll go to Councillor Schilling. Councillor Masika, what was your contribution?
Thanks, Your Worship. My contribution is based on what Natalie has presented. So the petition itself is very clear. They didn't ask for new development, but they ask us to keep that playground. And what I would suggest, I will go the way Councillor Gard has put up in the motion, that we maintain and we continue leaving that playground there for the time being, while we are reconciling between the playground policy and the coming up with the end of the life of that playground. So for the time being, it's quite okay. We don't need overdevelopment around that reserve, because I know for sure in 2 years' time or 3 years' time, something major will happen, but we don't know what and which direction it will take. So for the time being, is to give more couple of years for the playground to continue being there with no new development or just a little maintenance until we make the decision. When we make a decision, what do we need to be there in a couple of years after looking up the playground policy itself?
Thank you. I think that's consistent with the motion Councillor Gard moved. Councillor Schilling.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'm wondering if with leave of the mover and the seconder, whether I could add a third point to the current motion rather than making an amendment. I just want to add a third point.
Just try us out.
Yep, it would be to ask for a report to come to council within 12 months showing options for a new nature playground to be installed at the end of the current playground's natural life. And I can give reasoning why I would add this point.
I think that's consistent with what Councillor Gard was putting forward when I heard his remarks. Would the mover and the seconder be willing to add that to the motion so it calls on a report about suitable nature play when the playground is ready to be removed? Well, I mean, what Councillor Schilling said, I'm just paraphrasing.
Can I just make a quick suggestion? Sorry, I'm not sure whether that's something that the team might be able to pick up through the open space plan rather than having a separate motion for it, because that should define then when this playground, I'm assuming, it might be good to get the Renee to comment, but would that then define when this playground is due for renewal as part of the open space plan?
Ms. Pitcher, do you want to comment?
Through the chair, yes, that can be realised through the open space plan. Currently, the only considerations for this site for the open space plan was that it was to be removed with council's previous recommendation. Should it be renewed, then the costings and timing can be realised within the open space plan.
So what I'm hearing, Councillor Schilling, is that it's not strictly necessary, could be done through ward briefings, etc.
Okay. Then if it goes that way, then I'm happy to not have that point included, but I'm happy to give my reasoning why I would like to see that at that site.
Yes, so please proceed with your contribution to the debate.
Yes, thank you, Mayor Hannah. Look, the reason I would like to add, or it has been noted, and I'm sure Councillor Gard will sure to follow this through in his ward briefings, is that the playground currently has a path that leads down to the mouth of the Field River, which will eventually connect with the coastal walkway. So I really think that it could be a really nice extension of the coastal walkway in the future. And a nature playground will, not a large scale, but a larger than what has been proposed in the consultation, will definitely make the area more vibrant and link in with the nature style walking trail that we have along the coastal walkway and at the end there. And eventually it will link into the national park, the new national park that's being formed, which is going to take in the Field River Valley. I think that would be a really good way to, in the future, when the playground reaches its natural life, that a large scale or a medium scale nature play be incorporated. That would be my reasoning. It's a really nice area. I have walked it several times with my dog.
Thank you. So that was another speaker in favour. Is there any other speaker against the motion? Councillor Masika, you have contributed already.
Yeah, I wanted to
ask. I'm afraid the rules don't really allow you to contribute again.
Not a contribution, Your Worship, except I wanted to ask a question, if I'm allowed to do that.
Well, it's really a bit late in the debate. I think we need to move on. I'm terribly sorry, Councillor, but we have cancelled most of the issues, canvassed most of the issues pretty well. If there are no other speakers against, I'll leave it to Councillor Gard to make any concluding remarks. Councillor Gard, just unmute.
I believe it's all been said, and I do feel that there is we are leading towards somewhat of a replacement style of playground in the medium term, which I fully accept Councillor Schilling's thoughts there. It would give great continuity, but also great uplift to the area. So I'm very happy with how things sit.
Thank you. And I'm sure, our staff are responsive to council decisions. So I'm sure they'll incorporate these, you know, the ideas in this discussion into the open space plan for when it comes back to us. I'll put the motion.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor. Can we just confirm the motion, please?
Yes, Ms. That's point of order is in order. Ms. Moritz, if you could read that out again, please.
The Chair, that Council notes the consultation feedback as provided in Appendix 1 and Point 2. Current playground equipment remains in place and is maintained for a period of 3 years before it is reviewed for renewal subject to safety considerations.
I think that's right. I'll ask people to raise their hands if they agree. And raise your hand if you disagree. No, that is unanimous. So we can move on to the next item. Thank you, members. And Ms. Gibson, if you're watching, I hope that that was satisfactory to you. Hope you could understand the rationale of the different councillors, and I'm sure it's an issue that you will follow. So thanks for watching.